The question we're going to consider this morning is this: how do we grow spiritually? How do we grow spiritually? Well, the first thing is that we actually need to be born spiritually. Because just like in our physical nature, we can't grow as people unless we're actually born, unless we actually exist physically. So too, we can't grow spiritually unless we've actually been born spiritually. Have a look with me there at chapter 1 of 1 Peter at verse 23. Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." What's perishable seed? Well, he's talking about how we were born physically, but being born again, we're born of imperishable seed. We're born again by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That as we heard the Word of God, as we heard the gospel about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin and convinced us that God is who he says he is, convinced us that we need a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he enabled us to put our trust in Jesus for salvation. The Holy Spirit caused us to be born again through the Word of God. Now, Terry talked about this last week, didn't he? Terry Arnold was our guest speaker. If you weren't here, he came down from Harvey Bay and preached on the topic of being born again and the fruit of being born again. And this question, how do we grow spiritually, will only apply to us if we've actually been born spiritually, if we've been born again by the Holy Spirit. So if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and we've been born again by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, then we want to grow spiritually. Have a look with me there at verse 3 of chapter 2. Peter says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." And the preceding verse talks about us, how we grow with craving pure spiritual milk. But we're not going to crave the pure spiritual milk unless we've been born again. But if we are born again, we will want to grow spiritually. Because Peter says that we've tasted that the Lord is good. So if we've got that taste for God, we'll want more of him. We'll want to know him more. We'll want to love him more. We'll want to grow in our relationship with him. We will want to grow spiritually. But how do we actually do it? So if we're born again, if we truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this desire to grow spiritually because we know who God is. But how do we actually do it? The desire is there. How do we actually do it? Look with me at verse 2 of chapter 2. Peter says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." We grow by craving God's word. That's what Peter tells us. We actually grow by reading, meditating on, obeying God's word. Peter uses the analogy of a newborn baby. And anyone who has had children will know that when a newborn baby is hungry, you know it. They let you know. They cry. They scream even if you don't feed them, to let you know that they need milk. They need their mother's milk. And this analogy I find very powerful. Because Peter's saying we should be like newborn babies, but craving spiritual milk, milk from God's word. Now, God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow as his people. He doesn't want us to stay as a two-year-old spiritually. You know, as human beings, as we eat and as we're nourished, we grow physically. And spiritually, it's the same. We need to keep feeding off God's word in order to grow. Because if we don't, we just won't. We just won't grow. We'll be spiritually malnourished. So what if we're not growing? What if we look at our life? Maybe we've attended church for a few years, maybe for many years. But if we look back, we should be able to see growth. The longer we've been in a relationship with God, the longer we've walked with Christ, we should be able to see a pattern of growth. And it's not always like this. It's not always onward and upward. Sometimes there are valleys. Sometimes there are dips. Sometimes there are long periods where we don't grow. And maybe we even go backwards in our faith. But overall, over the whole length of time, there should be a pattern of growth, even though it's not always steady. So if we're not growing, there are only really two possibilities as to why that's the case. The first one is that we haven't actually been born again. Because as I said at the start, we can't actually grow if we're not born again. And so if we look back on our Christian life and see zero growth from the start, that we're no closer in our relationship with God than when we first professed faith in Christ, it's highly likely that we don't know him. That we only think we do. But if we haven't grown in our faith, if we haven't grown spiritually, then it's probable that we haven't been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. But there's another possibility, that if we're not growing at the moment, or we haven't been growing for a while, we haven't been eating. We haven't been eating God's word. And obviously I mean that in a spiritual sense. Maybe we got busy and we had a lot going on in our life and we just sort of gradually fell out of the habit of reading God's word. If that's you this morning, I'd encourage you to look back at the time that you sort of stopped reading God's word and see if it's had an effect on your spiritual life. See if you feel closer to God as a result of that happening, of stopping spending time in God's word. Do you feel closer to God as a result of that? I would think not. Because you haven't been feeding on God's word. You may have tasted that the Lord is good, but you haven't been coming back to him to taste more of him and to grow in that craving for God through his word. So if we're not growing, it doesn't necessarily mean we're not born again. It's possible that we're going through a valley spiritually. And it's not always just that we got busy. Maybe we had some suffering in our life. Maybe we had doubts. I went through a period of 4 years, which is a long time. I had a crisis of faith. And I wasn't walking with God for 4 years. But I don't believe that I became born again after that 4 years. I believe I was born again before that crisis of faith happened. But God allowed me to walk through that dark valley, and he kept hold of me. And he brought me back. He brought me out of the darkness. So it's possible that God lets us go through these dark valleys, through these dark times. But if we are truly born again, he will bring us out of them. He will renew our faith, and he won't let us go. Now, what if our heart isn't in it? Because here's another possibility. We're being diligent in our Bible reading. We're reading God's word every day or almost every day. But it just feels like we're going through the motions. We know we should do it. We know we need to crave God's word. We know it's the right thing to do. But sometimes it just feels like our heart's cold. That we're doing what we ought to do, but our heart feels far from God. It feels more like a chore than a delight. I'd encourage you, I have these seasons often, and I'd encourage you to do it anyway and pray for God to change your heart. I think that's what God would want us to do. He's given us those commands, and if our heart's not in it, the right thing to do is not, oh, well, my heart's not in it, therefore I shouldn't do it. God wants us to do it. He does also want our heart to be in it. But we pray and ask God to enable our heart to be in it, to keep reading his word, to keep pursuing God, and say, God, forgive me for my cold heart. Forgive me for my lack of desire for you. Forgive me for finding more enjoyment watching TV than reading your word. Forgive me for those things and change me, change my heart. Give me a love for your word. We need to pray. So I'd encourage you, don't stop reading the Bible if it feels like your heart's not in it. Keep reading and pray. Ask God to make his word come alive to you. Keep persevering and believe that the light will come. That your heart will be in it once again. Because this has happened many times to me throughout my Christian life, where there'll be days, maybe even weeks, where I spend time with God, but I feel like my heart's not fully in it. But then I pray, I persevere, and God brings my heart back in. It's not that I don't love God anymore while I'm having those struggles with reading his word. It's just that there's some sort of disconnect between my mind and my heart. I still want to do it. I still want to be close to God. But for some reason, my heart's not always there. And all we can do is cry out to God. Because we're not really in control of how we feel. We can't really control our emotions. And some of us are more emotional than others. You know, we're different people. We have no control. We can't say, feel happy, and just feel happy. But we can strive to do things that will make us feel happy. So I'd encourage you, keep craving God's word. Crave it like a newborn baby, as Peter said. Even if your heart's not in it, keep persevering and ask God to change your heart, to set it on fire again. You know, during my crisis of faith, there'd be times when I would walk with God again for brief periods, and I'd be trusting again, and I'd spend time reading God's word and praying, and when my heart wasn't in it, I would just go, this doesn't make sense. I'm just going to stop. And that wasn't the right thing to do. I should have persevered. I think I was idealizing this wonderful Christian life where our heart's always in it. You know, every day we read the Bible, we pray, and our mind's always connected with our heart, and we don't just think about what we're reading, but we feel it as well. And because that idealism wasn't true, I kind of just walked away, pushed it away. But the reality is that the Christian life is described in Scripture as a fight. Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith. We're called to fight. That it's not easy. It's not easy just to get up every morning, read the Bible and pray, and we always feel wonderful about it, and it's just the same thing that happens every day. No, some days it is a fight, but God wants us to fight. Another metaphor that's used is a race. Paul often talks about running the race. He calls the Christian life a race. And he's not talking about a 100-meter sprint. He's talking about a marathon, a long race where you need endurance, you need perseverance. Now, I've never run a marathon, and I have no intention of ever doing it. But I'm sure it is tough and grueling, and the pain, that would happen in the body, and the runners just have this amazing mind to be able to just push through the pain and keep running. Well, Paul uses that metaphor of the Christian life, that it's hard, it's difficult, it's not easy. But God wants us to keep running and to keep fighting until we finish the race. And then it's no longer hard, it's no longer difficult. We'll be with God in glory. But until then, it's a fight. It's a race. And our heart is not always in it. But God still wants us to obey his good commands, such as crave spiritual milk, like newborn babies crave physical milk. And sometimes God allows us to pass through deserts when we are really spiritually dry. He hasn't let go of us. He allows us to have those times sometimes. And dark valleys. I was in a dark valley for 4 years, and it was a very dark time. Now, these times that we sometimes experience as Christians, paradoxically, these end up being times of great growth often. Often the dark seasons that we pass through, the spiritually dry periods, often at the end of them, God has brought about great growth in us. More dependence on him, more trust in him, more hunger for him. We sense more our need for him. So if we truly know God, if we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and a proof of that is having a taste, if we've tasted that the Lord is good, then we will desire to grow spiritually. And we do that by spending time in God's word, by craving God's word. And may God be gracious to us and give us more and more of that desire to know him more by using the means that he's given us, his word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. It is more precious to us than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Father, we thank you for your grace to us in your Son, that through him, through his life, death and resurrection on our behalf, that you have enabled us to see you for who you really are, that you've enabled us to taste, experience that you are good, and that as your people we know you. We've tasted your goodness, we've tasted your love, and we just want to know you more. We thirst and hunger for you because nothing in this world satisfies. We know that. We know that from your word, and it's confirmed by our experience, that nothing in this world satisfies but you. So, Father, please empower us by your Spirit to use the means that you've given us of growing spiritually, of growing in our knowledge of you and our love for you, in our personal relationship with you. Father, please help us to crave your word as newborn babies crave their mother's milk. We wouldn't go a day without eating physical food. Father, help us not to go a day without eating spiritual food, that we would see the importance, how it's critical and vital that we be people who are in your word every day, that we were drawing near to you, filling our thoughts and our hearts with you, that we might know you more and love you more, that we might bring you more and more glory until that day when you take us home to be with yourself, when the race has been run and the fight has been fought, and we get to receive our reward, which is you, dwelling in your very presence forever and ever. Please keep us by your grace. Help us to endure until that day. Amen.